Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is July 19th, 2001. In the fireside this evening is Katie Hansen. Today's session number is HAK 2001-04, and it's titled Parables into Poetry, Making Old Stories New. Let's listen in.
English 101. All first year students take it. I understand.
Wow, she's a neat person.
I'm trying to think.
Oh, we get a lot
Carol
of
today, but she wasn't a college student. Does anybody need a pen or paper? We'll wait another minute. I think my watch is a little fast. I'm thinking of running upstairs. Yeah. I'm gonna run upstairs and get some.
We can play with them.
Anybody else get some more?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm going to hand these out. We're going to play with them for a minute while we're waiting to see. Here's Mickey Mouse.
No, this is for my friend Donna. I can't do these things.
Try one.
In color, they're a little easier. I need to start with my nose.
Do you want
to
do one, Oscar?
Will you find the picture of this?
On both sides?
On one side.
Either side.
Either side works. These are magic eye things. That one's fun. It's got the big pirate ship on it from Peter Pan.
Okay, so I see a 3D. Oh,
yes, I think it's working.
I've never seen one of these.
I'm going to see if I can see it.
Yeah, maybe we can do that one.
Can I get you bottles?
Oh, my. I see my chair. That's the first time I have ever seen
my
grace.
Oh, hi. See how fun it is?
All right. Try this one. This one's really neat. I can't get the panties, but that one's cool. You saw this one. Okay, what's this one supposed to be?
I'm not sure. We'll have to. Can you bring paper? Do you need some? Okay.
Oh, cool. Why can I suddenly see these and I could never see them before?
It's the aura of Holden.
It must be. That's truly amazing. No wonder everybody gets into these.
I'll find the Mickey Mouse one. That's neat.
Yeah, that one's fun too. They're all fun.
Oh yeah, Donna has. Well, see, I have to start at my nose and work my way out. I just can't.
Yeah, that's the only way I can do it too.
I have never been able to see one of these before.
So yeah, there are two ways. You can put it right flat on your nose and then just pull it away ever so slowly until your eyes fix on the images and you get the deep vision. Or you can sort of hold it out there a little bit and just let your eyes get relaxed.
Try to look through the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see this one at all.
And some are harder than others.
Now this one, the coins jumped up. We're all 3D. Didn't see it. Maybe you don't have it out far enough.
Oh, I see it!
Yay.
I see it! There's the map!
Isn't that great?
I give up.
Let's go home. We're done.
Oh, we're done.
We saw them.
We're all successful.
I thought we should have had a picture of everybody
with something on their nose.
Yeah, you guys want to try?
My problem is I get caught in my trifocals.
Oh, yeah. They're tricky, I suppose. Well.
Now I got that one about up this far from my vision.
This one didn't do it.
No, I can't make anything out of that one at all.
Well, the reason I give you these two, and if you want to play with them, they're up in Ginny's corner upstairs. There's a whole box of them. I brought some with me today. Also, well, I don't know that I brought them, but I have some around that I've copied, and they're black and white. And that's a little bit different than seeing them in color. A lot of people say it's easier in color. And it's easier if they're glossy. I don't know why that is. But the reason that I have you look at these, well, when I talk with writing students, I like to have them look at these when they're thinking about revising, because revising is all about seeing something in a new way. And so this is just an entry point into talking about that. But I also like to use this when we're talking about trying to see anything in a new way. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is parables, and taking parables, which are stories that we know very, very well and maybe haven't thought about very much in any kind of new way, and we're going to try to think about them and write about them in a completely different way. So that's why we're playing with these magic eyes for a little bit here. The reason parables is because I'm going to shut that door. How about that? Just a second.
What are these called? Magic eyes?
Magic eyes.
The reason I have chosen parables is, one, because they're just rich. You know, they have all kinds of great stuff in them. And also because Jesus used parables to explain how we should behave and what we should believe. And he used those concrete stories in order to explain abstract ideas. And that's a lot about what poetry is and language is trying to take something abstract and use concrete language to explain it. Jesus used a lot of simile and metaphor and narrative story in order to help us, the disciples then, and us now, to understand and relate to and remember these teachings that he wanted us to have. So, pretty important stuff, parables. Matthew 13, verse 34 says, Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. And I think that's really amazing that, you know, parables were pretty important. And in Mark 4, verse 34, it says, Jesus did not speak to them except in parables. So I think parables are a pretty pivotal part of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so that's part of the reason why I chose that. Also, though, the kinds of things that happen in parables is what good writers do. They try to take something that's hard to understand and put it into some terms where someone will understand it better, either their feelings or their thoughts and so on. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to, I've got all kinds of ideas, and we can pick and choose and do all these different things. And before we leave tonight, we will all have some new way of coming at a parable. Now, the reason I gave you Bibles is not because we're going to have Bible study per se, but so that you can look up parables and find your favorite one and reacquaint yourself with all the little parts if you want to. But I thought we could start out by maybe brainstorming a list on the board of parables that come to mind readily, and then we can go from there. Okay.
Good Samaritan.
Good Samaritan. Gee, I wonder why we thought of that one first.
Oh, I wonder why.
Okay.
Prodigal son.
Prodigal son.
Lost sheep. Mustard seed.
And what was before mustard seed?
Lost sheep.
Lost sheep.
The good seed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot more.
The penny.
Widow's mine.
Mm-hmm. Is it where she loses the coin?
Mm-hmm. Lost coin, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that the one with
the well?
The one of the, okay, the widow's mine is a different one, isn't it?
You can also open up to Matthew, Mark, or Luke, John, and the little headings will key you in to remind you of some if you wonder. And some of them, of course, are repeated in different places. What else?
Wedding feast, the buried talents.
Hmm? Is that how you spell talents? Is that what it means? I think.
These are sort of short parables or metaphors, we're going to call them. The pearl of great value.
Okay.
I'm looking at my body.
The rich man and the poor man.
Mm-hmm.
The wicked tenants.
Mm-hmm. And where is that?
Matthew something.
33.
A good seed. Is that the same as a good seed?
Is that the same as what you meant here?
Could be, yeah.
And where is that?
Yeah, Matthew.
There's a treasure hidden in a field.
Okay. Matthew what?
A bunch of them are in Matthew.
Yeah.
13.
Yeah. There are quite a few in Luke also.
The lost coin, but there's also the last coin too, isn't there?
Okay.
Where she puts the last one in the...
The poor woman versus the... Isn't that the one with the...
Versus
the man who goes up and, oh, look at me, yeah. I'm such a...
That's the widow's mite. I think you've got that up there, don't you?
Well, that's the widow's lost coin. I think it's two of them combined.
Ah. There is a woman who loses a coin and cleans her whole house.
And finds it.
Okay. And you're thinking of the last coin of the poor woman.
Yeah.
Okay. At the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In Luke 12 is the parable of the rich fool.
Okay.
The parable of the unforgiving servant.
Unforgiving servant. Temple.
We have the laborers.
Mm-hmm. Is that the wicked tenants or is that a different one?
Probably. The 10 pounds.
No, the wicked tenants is different.
Okay. The laborers. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Oh, because this parable of the 10 pounds. Yeah, I don't remember it.
And the vineyards?
Oh, it's where he has three different people given three different amounts of money and they have to go out and make a multiply.
And one of them hides it.
One of them buries it.
There's
it.
One.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The vineyards where the man sends people to check on it and finally sends his son who gets killed.
Is that the wicked tenants?
That's the wicked tenants.
Where he sends, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Parable of the two sons.
Two sons?
Mm-hmm. That's Matthew 21.
Okay. Wicked tenants. This one is in Matthew also.
The 10 bridesmaids.
I've got the wedding feast. Is that what you meant, Paul?
The 10 bridesmaids.
10 bridesmaids.
Matthew 25. Mm-hmm. With their oil.
The lamp. Matthew 25.
And the talents. You have the parable of the talents.
Got the buried talents. The parable of the talents. And where is that?
Matthew 25.
Okay. Okay, and do we have the rich fool up here yet?
No, somebody says that.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Okay, so many of them are in the Luke, like verses 14 through 16, and Matthew 20, 21, Matthew 18 and 20, there are a lot of them in there too. Mark, I didn't find much in Mark. Mark 4.
Lamp under a bushel basket?
Hiding under a bushel basket?
Mm-hmm.
And where's that?
Oh, Mark 4.
Okay.
21.
Yep, Mark 4. Yeah.
But you don't find it in John.
Yeah. Well, the woman at the well is in John.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. John 4, 7.
Okay. And I have the woman at the well, right? Yes, John 4, 7. Okay.
Is that a parable? The woman as well.
Is it parable or is it a story?
I think he just knew who she was.
It actually happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which doesn't mean we can't write about it. It'll be okay.
With her fig tree.
No, we don't. Where is that?
Mark 11.
Mark 11. Okay.
The eye of the camel went through the eye of the needle?
Yeah. And that is what, Luke?
Down here to Matthew 23,
okay.
Matthew 20, Matthew 19, verse 23.
Okay. I think it's also in Luke somewhere.
I'm not sure though.
In Luke 14 is the parable where he tells you if you go to a banquet, you know, that parable, but I don't know the name of it.
Sit below the salt.
You know, the one where you sit, you don't sit in a place of honor, and then if they ask you to come and sit
at banquet.
That's in Luke 14.
Luke 14. Sit down. Something like that. Okay. And there are many, you'll find there are many versions in lots of different places. And so you may want to look at more than one version if you decide to, on a particular parable. What do we know are some of the key elements in all of these parables? I mean, first of all, what's the point of them?
To teach.
Okay, so there's some element of teaching. Jesus wanted us to understand something better, okay? And what do we notice about most, if not all of them? What kinds of things are in all of the stories? Or most of them.
Well, there was an easy, you know, an oversimplification. It's an earthly story with heavenly meaning, you know.
Okay.
So it's an earthly story, something that people could understand in their everyday life that he was talking to.
All right. So, you know, he's talking about losing money, or if he's talking about losing a sheep, when he's talking to shepherds about losing a
sheep.
They
can understand it.
They know what that's about. And we've all lost something and torn up the whole house looking for it. So we know, we understand that, and then he can relate it to something really abstract, and maybe we can get it, right? What else do we notice in these?
Many of them have what, the outcast of society, or the undesirables of society, or the no goods of society.
Yeah, somebody who we would think, you know, you're going to hold them up as a model, you know, and then we learn from that. So oftentimes it is something or someone who we wouldn't look to as being necessarily a model for ourselves. but we learn something from it. Almost all of them involve a little situation, and a lot of times it turns out differently than we think, right? So, you know, we see, for example, the prodigal son, and he goes off, and we just think, oh, you know, he is so bad. And he's used up all his inheritance, and how does he deserve to come back? And yet there's a turnover, there's a change of heart, and then we see how it is that he is treated when he returns, and then we learn something from that. And the Good Samaritan, you have the priest, I think, who comes down the road first, and he doesn't do anything, and then you have the Levite comes down the road, he doesn't do anything, and then there's a switch, and you have the Good Samaritan, and he comes down the road, and he does something. So a lot of these, you'll have several different possibilities happen within the story. I'm trying to think, is it the tenants one, where the man sends out one servant, and they get a certain response, sends out another, sends out his son. Is that the one?
Yeah.
The tenants? Okay. And then he's killed. And then there's a response. So there are these little actions that are happening, and they make a whole story. And yet then Jesus explains afterwards. Well, he doesn't always explain it. Sometimes the disciples say, you know, tell us what it means. And he's a little frustrated that they don't get it. And so sometimes we have to put a little of our own work into it. But most of these stories center on a question of what should we do, or how are we supposed to understand this? And it oftentimes in response to a question that a disciple has asked Jesus, well, what do you mean by this? And then he gives them a story, and then they have to kind of piece it together. So so we have a lot of themes here. We have things that are lost and then are found, right? The lost sheep, the lost money, the son, all these lost and found kind of elements. We also have a lot of forgiveness in here. A lot of stories about and explaining forgiveness. And there were also a lot of stories about answering questions like, how do we know when we've forgiven enough? How do I know when I've given enough money to the church? How do I know when I've done this enough, Jesus? And so a lot of these stories are explaining to us how much is enough. And a lot of them are, what is the right way? Or what would be a good way for us to respond to these life situations that we humans are in all the time? Trying to relate to each other and trying to do what is expected of us. So there are some overlying themes in parables, which you might want to think about when you go to write something. I had some parables into poems, and then I didn't bring that book of poems with me, so I'm not going to read you any poems. But a lot of writers have spent time taking ideas from the Bible, scripture, verses, whole stories, and making them into poems. So this is not a new idea, but it is a challenging one, because we are going to try to take these stories that we know very well now and try to think about them in a new way. So we might as well get started with doing some writing. And I'm going to give you a handout, which I'll pass some this way, and I'll pass some the other way too, which has everything you need on it. I put those two verses in a box at the top that I quoted to you at the beginning about Jesus and parables, because I think that's really important to our understanding as to why this is important stuff. And the first thing, and this may well be the hardest thing of the whole evening, is that you're going to have to choose a parable. And there are so many, as you can see, to choose from, so that you're going to have to narrow it down. So you don't want to spend a whole lot of time doing that, because you can choose any of these parables and they'll all work. So don't spend your whole time paging through the Bible, picking a parable, and then have no time to write, okay? So what you're first going to do, though, is choose a parable, and you might have a favorite one or one that's always sort of made you wonder. And that might be a really good one, actually, to try to write about. And then once you choose, and you can glance around in the Bible using the headings, or you can just pick one off our list. That's kind of the reason I put that list up there, so you can use it. And then let's go through these writing options a little bit so that everybody's kind of clear on some of the possibilities. And as with all writing prompts, you can ignore them all entirely and just write whatever has moved you as well. So you don't have to feel like this is an assignment. These are just some opportunities. So the first option says, it might be interesting to interview the Good Samaritan or some other person from a parable. And so there, you don't even have to write a poem. You can just write sort of a Q&A answer session sort of thing, question and answers. And you can be silly with it, or you can be quite serious. And you can pretend you're Barbara Walters or
Mike Douglas,
whoever you want to be. Take on a persona and interview a character from one of the parables. So that's kind of I think that's one of the least scary, and it could be very, very fun. The second one is, and I thought about this, this occurred to me because I thought about the prodigal son and how it might be interesting if he had written a letter to Dear Abby and asked for advice prior to his decision to run away. Maybe he would not have run away. Or maybe he's laying there in the pig pen eating the slop and thinks, you know, I've got to write to Dear Abby and find out, what should I do so I can go home? And so you could write that letter, or you could write the letter in response telling him what you think he might want to do. The third one is somewhat similar to last night's sermon, if you were here last night, and that is writing a modern version of something. And so you heard a very different version of the Three Little Pigs last night. And you could write a more modern version. And if you think about many of the stories, children's stories, if you've spent much time reading children's stories, many, many of them parallel parables. And there's really nothing new on the face of the earth. I think we're all just rethinking things over and over again. So that's not cheating or stealing. That's just, it's a useful thing to do. So instead of having the Good Samaritan, you know, coming along this path, you can have him driving his car, you know, on the highway. So, and that happens all the time, and that there is kind of a modern Good Samaritan thing happening constantly. So you could try to write that modern version. The fourth bullet there talks about writing from a different point of view. I think this is very useful to try to understand something, is if you can try to come at it from a different perspective. And so, for example, if I've used basic ones here, prodigal son, well, instead of thinking about it from the prodigal son's point of view, which is kind of the point of view we get somewhat of an omniscient point of view, what is his brother's point of view from the very beginning? We get the brother's point of view right at the end, right? Why did you kill that fatted calf? But we don't know what he thought all along. And the father, what was he thinking when his son ran away? And the prodigal son all along. For the Good Samaritan, what about the innkeeper? What would he be thinking? Or the man himself? We don't really ever hear the voice of the person who's rescued by the Good Samaritan. What would that person be thinking? So perhaps you might want to come at that story from a different point of view. The next few are poems. So if you really don't want to write poetry, then look at those first couple. And actually, though, I think these poems are kind of fun too, because they're template poems, which means only that they have a sort of form, a structure, which I give you, and then you just fill in the rest. And so it comes together really fast. And so you'll find that very quickly you will have something. An acrostic poem, you've been doing those probably since first grade. And you just take the word and you write it vertically, and you use the first letter of each letter in the word to sort of define the beginning of that sentence. And so you could, for example, write the words prodigal son vertically down your paper, and then use P, R, O, and so on to sort of inform what that line's going to say for you, and it will make you come to some new ideas. It's simple, but it works. B, the second template, is one that I've just thrown together some verbs. And you can use all of them, you can rearrange them, you can use only some of them, you can repeat them, you can do whatever you want with them, but it gives you a start. So you would start out your poem, when I hear or when I read the parable of the mustard seed, I wonder, and I understand this, and I want to know more about, and you just fill in the sentences, and it gets you thinking about that parable in a new way. Okay? And now we're going to look at the other side, because there is more. I gave you lots of choices here today. C. Now, this one I like because it is coming at the idea from an opposite point of view, which can be very useful if you're trying to think about something in a new way. Talking about what the parable is not saying. What is that character not doing? What is this not like? And when you're trying to say what something isn't like, that can really stretch you. And then at the end of this, instead, there's a kind of a turn at the fifth line. Instead, it does say this, and it is this, and it's like this. That one can be very, very interesting. And the next one here should have a letter D next to it, but it doesn't. But it just says or, this template. And there I've given you another, I've just made these up. They're just things that do work. I've given you 10 lines, and again, ignore them, mix them up, rearrange them, do what you want with them. But you could start with the title of the parable as line one, and then list some nouns that you think about when you think of that parable. So for example, if you do the lost sheep, you could put the title, the lost sheep, and then nouns that you might think of with that, other than the obvious. Sheep, shepherd's crook, and pasture, or something. And then colors and adjective words. And then in line four, smells or action words. And then line five, the actions of one person in the parable. And line six, the actions of another person in that parable. How do you feel about it? Then line eight makes you come up with a simile, a comparison. And what do you understand about it? And then line 10, another comparison, and you'll be quite surprised when you work your way through those 10 lines. Now, once you have lines from any of these templates, you can rearrange them, you can do whatever you want to them. This is just an idea, a place to start. You might want to spend more time later really putting some finishing touches on it or revising it, and that would be good too, but at least this gets you some place to start. And then you have the last one, which is a diamante poem, and that literally just means diamond, because when this poem is done, it is somewhat shaped like a diamond, okay? And I like this, there are diamantes, there are different ways to do them. But this is the more classical way to do it, and that is that halfway through the longest line, which is line four, there is a split there's a turn, a big turn. And the reason then I think this works well with a lot of parables is because in a lot of the parables, something's happening, and boom, there's a big turn, and then it's changed. And so it can be very interesting to use this form to write about parables. And so, for example, if we were to write about the prodigal son, then lines 1 through 3 would all be, perhaps, not prescriptive here, but you could have the first part be about the prodigal son before he comes home, or up until that moment before he decides to come home. And so line 1 would be something that describes, you could have it be prodigal son. Line 2 then is 2 adjectives that describe him. So I tried this one once. Let me see if I have it here. Yeah. So my first line I put prodigal son. The second line, I did this morning, arrogant and curious about the world. And then the third line is you use ing words, verbs that end in ing, okay? So demanding his share, running away, gambling it all. Okay, so these are all the way he's acting prior to his decision, right? Then line 4 is where you're gonna see the shift. So you have 4 nouns or phrases, and the first 2 are going to be relating to the first half of the diamante. And the second 2, that's where you make the break, the second 2 refer then to the whole second half of the poem, where you shift. So here I said, wallowing in pig mud, hitting rock bottom, and now I'm shifting, making a decision, planning to beg. So he's now shifted his choice. Then the next line is more-ing verbs, and that's showing now the change. And so journeying, hoping, worrying. So now he's shifting, he's walking home, he's changed his mind. And then you have 2 adjectives again, and now those adjectives though are talking about line 7, the changed person. And so there I put penitent and forgiven, okay? And then the last line, prodigal son, because that's what we're talking about. Okay, so it makes a shift, and I think a lot of these stories do that, and the diamante is a concrete, tiny, little package deal sort of poem, and you can really show that powerful shift in just a few words. Okay, so those are the choices I'm offering you. You may have other things you want to do. Maybe you like to write haiku and you just want to do that. That would be great. But I think we should have some time to write. Any questions, though, before we do that? Okay. Does anybody need pen or paper? Because I have both.
I just need a piece of paper.
Paper? Do you want lined or unlined?
I'll take it unlined.
Unlined, all right. Okay. There you go. Anyone else? Okay, so let's write for about 15 minutes, and then that'll leave us a little time at the end if anybody wants to talk about the process or even read the poem. Okay?
Thank you.